Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Metaphysical Hour. Tonight is August 26, 2016, and I'm Julia Cannon, and I'm happy to be here with everybody. Just having a wonderful week, and goodness, it's almost the end of August. Can you believe that? It is just flying by. Got a few things to announce, and then I'll bring our guest on tonight. Really excited to have her. Okay, I just want to announce again, just tell you about our classes that are coming up. We have our level one companion classes and our level two companion classes, our level two class for the QHHT in Dublin, Ireland. I leave next week. Okay, so, but that's in September. And then the level one companion and level two also in Toronto, Canada in October. And then we'll have level two classes in China and Singapore in December. And so that'll be rounding out the year. All that's available on the website if you're interested in any of those. They are filling very nicely and very quickly. So be sure and jump in if you're interested at all. These are all these different forms of healing, you know, and this is, you know, it's wonderful, and that's what we'll be talking about tonight, is another way of how this healing works, and it's so wonderful. If you were interested in any more, I mean, next year we'll be in more classes, so those will be coming up as we start finalizing the arrangements for them. Anybody wants to call in for our guest tonight with questions for our guest, that number is 1-888-627-6008. 1-888-627-6008. And really excited to have our guest tonight. She's been on before because she's one of our authors, and she's had a couple of books with us, and this is her third book. So we always like to do a show when they have a new book coming out. And so we know we've talked to you before, but this is a little different. You've taken another turn with your subject matter. And I mean, they're all related, but then it always goes in another direction. But before the other books that we have with our guest tonight is Victoria Pendragon. Her first book with us is Sleep Magic, Surrendering to Success. And then we've done Feng Shui from the Inside Out. And then now her latest book with us is Born Healers, Awakening, Nourishing, and Training the Healer Within. And so without further ado, I'd really like to welcome Victoria Pendragon.
Thank you, Julia. I'm happy to be here.
Oh, so happy to have you. Yeah, I always love to have you on. And I love whenever you speak, and I love to have you on. Your energy is always so beautiful.
Thank you.
Well, you're very welcome. I truly mean that, too. And it's probably because of everything, you know, that you've gone through and you've done. And I was just remembering as I was refreshing myself, you know, on your material and everything beforehand, and I remembered the last time we did last time, and you're talking about a lot of your, your history and, you know, your upbringing and everything, and, you know, and that's your story. And it was just reminding me of all that. And I know I'd like you to tell a little bit of it because, you know, it's, you've told it before, so we don't need to go into all of that, but I think we need some of it to give some of the background for kind of how you got to where you are now.
Sure.
So, would you mind doing that?
Oh, I thought you were going to do it. Sure.
No, I'll let you do it.
Okay, in a nutshell then, yes?
Mm-hmm, sure, yeah. You can make it however big a nutshell you want, but.
Okay. I think I have to start in the middle properly because in 1988, I was gifted with a disease process, which is technically called diffuse progressive systemic sclerosis. It's also known as scleroderma. And what it does is, in my case, at least, because it was diffuse, it meant that it was all over me, inside and out. So it was in my organs and it was outside, and it turns your body into scar tissue, slowly and painfully. And I was given, when they finally diagnosed it, about 6 months to live because it was moving fast. Mm. And in retrospect, it really was a gift, because what happened was that I ended up surrendering, which is why the book, my first book, was called Surrender to Success. I ended up simply surrendering to what seemed to be happening to me while I was asleep. And on the final, I ended up getting into an experimental program for the disease that didn't cure anybody else that I know of except me. And I got completely 100% better and fast. And the doctors were shocked, and even more shocked a couple of years ago when they saw that I was still alive. I went back to visit them because they thought once they stopped me from the treatment, I would die. At any rate, on the last day of the treatment, I went home, and one of my sisters, who is a doctor, came over to celebrate what she called my graduation with me. And she made a comment rather loosely about, I guess it was her son. She was saying that she thought her son was my father, like born again, you know, come back to the earth. And I said, I thought not, that I thought it was my grandfather. And she made a comment about him not being a pedophile. And I said, what? Mm-hmm. And the next thing I remembered, I was standing in my kitchen. She was gone. She and her child had left the house. I don't know how I got from stunned in the driveway in front of my house to the kitchen, but I was standing there having memories of my life blow up like little sponge animals, mm-hmm. one at a time. I had these funny, odd little memories, and I'd always wonder, why do I remember that odd little bit of something, you know? And every one of those was like, woof, woof, woof. And I saw my history, and it was overwhelming. And after I recovered from the shock, I called all my siblings, because I have a bunch, and I told them what I had learned about my past, at least as much of it as I could, which was that I knew that I had experienced incest in the family, and that I had also been sexually trafficked by my grandfather, as had my sister, one of my other sisters. And interestingly, she remembered. She had remembered all this time. I just didn't speak up, because nobody talks about this stuff, or nobody used to.
Right.
And so I suddenly found myself, just having healed from a fatal, incurable disease, I found myself having to heal from what amounted to 18 years of sexual abuse. And that took some time. And over that period of time, it was revealed to me in sleep again how it was that I had physically healed, which is how I got to write Sleep Magic Surrender to Success. So in a nutshell, that's my life, except that now I have like a life from heaven. I met and married a wonderful man 8 years ago, and the books have all come out since then because he's given me a place and the time to do that. And now I'm doing what I wanted to do, which is to help people who need to heal, help themselves. Because when I was sick, and especially after I remembered the abuse stuff, I was so broke. I had nothing. So what I wanted to do was to make what I knew available to the general public at a cost that anybody could afford, probably. Yeah, the books, I don't know what they cost exactly, but, you know, $14 or $15 or something. And, you know, it's a lot cheaper than $20, you know, $60 a session with somebody.
Right.
And so that was my goal. And thanks to you guys, I've been able to realize it.
Oh, and that's wonderful. And that's the best thing. And I was thinking about, because you were saying, you didn't mention it here, but you were doing a lot of hands-on healing yourself, and this is where now you've turned it into where you can help a larger audience. So, because I think at first you were, and this is a common thing that happens with light workers or anybody that goes into this helping mode. You know, we're here, we want to help, you know, and we tend to help anybody. And you said such a vital statement there. I want to help people who want to help themselves. That's kind of key.
Yeah.
It's very key. Very key. Yes. Would you like to elaborate on that?
People helping themselves, sure.
Yeah, why that's so key. Yeah.
Well, you know, I think ultimately what it goes back to is to love. And the fact that you can't love another person unless you love yourself.
Mm,
and helping yourself is doing, that's the essence of loving yourself, is taking care of yourself.
Yes, absolutely.
So, I think that's it. I think that's, and if you don't make that commitment to yourself, A, you can't really expect anybody else to commit to that. It's not their job. And B, it's not likely to work very well for you because there's an energy around that.
Yeah.
If you don't have that energy, you got nothing.
Right. And that goes back to the, you know, we're attracting all the time what, you know, like attracts like. That's how we create, with very unconsciously.
Yes.
We're always doing that way.
Yes. And that's a huge part of it.
So right there, just by, and that's so many, like you said, that's a huge part of it. I'd like to elaborate on that.
Go for it.
Because what that's bringing to mind is, so many times people think, oh, I just need to do a bunch of affirmations. I need to do, you know, like this. And it's not really that. It's not that.
I know. It breaks my heart that idea has become so popular that, oh, it's that if you dream it, you can do it. Not necessarily. Mm-hmm. Because if your body's not ready for it, if it's not in you, if it's not growing out of you to begin with, you can't attract what you need.
Yeah. So what you're saying is that goes back to, because I remember I used to see is like you got to get emotionally involved in it, you got to get charged, you got to get passionate about it, you've got it. So that's kind of what you're saying here, isn't it? You've got to become it somehow. It's like in another way of saying that.
Yes, I think a critical point for me, at least in my understanding of how this all works, is that whatever it is that you think you want, you know, including healing from a disease, your body knows always what's going on. So just because you think you want to run a huge company doesn't mean that's the thing for you necessarily. That because the mind has this life that's all its own. I mean, it's full of imagination and that's wonderful, but that's not necessarily what you're meant to do. It's always good to kind of clear that. If it's in you, you have to be clear to be able to bring it out. But if it's not in you, no matter what you do, it's not going to come out.
Right, and you're probably not going to be happy.
Also true.
Because you're hitting a lot of walls trying to make it happen.
Yes.
Like, why?
Yeah, that's so true. And it's so painful for people, too. But I think that unrealistic expectations are not necessarily unrealistic, but, well, yeah, I guess they are unrealistic if it's not what you were, in a sense, put here to do, if it's not what you were put here equipped to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's not going to go well.
Yeah. So they really need to do a personal assessment and get in tune with themselves. And what is it you really want to do? What is it you enjoy doing? Or what is it, how would you best define to do that? you know, like.
Well, I always tell people the same thing. Take it into sleep.
because that's when you get your communications.
Yes, it's when the body is so free to communicate with you, and the body's language, as I talk about in both my first two books, is feeling. Mm-hmm. And so when you have I tell people, if there's something you really want, make this connection with your body where you say thank you, and ideally you have a relationship with your body where it knows that you love it and you do what it needs and all of that. And you say to your body, look, you know, tonight while I'm asleep, I would really appreciate it if you could do whatever you need to do to bring to the attention of my waking conscious mind the energy around my, you know, becoming an airline stewardess or whatever it is you wanted to do. Mm-hmm. And if you have a dream that's just awesome, then the energy's good there because your body is geared to survival. So if your body likes something, it's good for you. If your body doesn't like something, it's not good for you. So if you take that dream in and you have a dream about, it wouldn't even have to be about necessarily dying or crashing or being sick. It could just be a really nasty dream where people are, you know, you're lost or people are hitting you over the head with bricks or whatever. And you're like, oh, that's not so good for me because that didn't feel good.
That was interesting that you used hitting you over the head with bricks is probably trying to get a message through. It's like, hello. We've been trying to tell you this for a long time now.
Yes. Yes. I think people are, again, back to the surrender part, I think that people are almost afraid to ask their body to let them know what the energy is around something because they think they have their heart set on something. They have their mind set on something.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's different.
It is different.
It can be worlds different, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's when a lot of times I'm talking to people when they're struggling over what is it, you know, what should I do here? What should I do here? And it's like, well, just ask your heart. Your heart knows. And it's I'm finding more people know what that means now. But I remember a while back they were like, what? I don't understand what you mean when you say that, you know.
You know, one of the reasons I sort of codified sleep magic was so that people could have people who are a little more rigid in their way of being in the world could mm-hmm. say, oh, okay, well, here's how I do it. A, B, C, D, E, F. Okay, I've got it. Because, yeah. You know, some people, you can tell them to talk to their heart and they're just there. I mean, they'll just jump in. But other people need a little more information. They need a little structure.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so let's go. Now, your latest book is Born Healers.
Yes.
So let's talk about it and why you brought it out. What are you doing here? So.
Well, I brought it out because I truly believe that we are all healers. We all have energy. We all channel energy. And so that can be channeled for healing as much as for anything else. And because in order to be an effective healer, you need to be clear yourself. And I'm all about being clear. I wrote this book so people could understand that, yes, you too can heal. You don't need special classes. You don't need to be a master of this and a master of that. I remember when I was learning to do hands-on healing myself, I don't know how many things I have a master certification in, a boatload. And if you can do it, good, because you learn a lot from those classes.
Sure.
But it's icing on the cake of you, because everybody can do healing. And so what I did was to put in there, like, again, for people who are, let's say they don't make a lot of money, they're in a relationship with someone, their special someone is not well, they can lay hands on them. And there's guidance in this book to do that. I think just having, seriously, having been broke for so long, I tend to go think, what would have been useful for me at that time? What would have been good for me to know? And so that's why I write these books that are really self-help books, essentially.
Right. Well, because a lot of people, I mean, that's where they are. Because when you think about it, you know, if you have, I guess what's coming to me again is that self-actualization pyramid. Is it a pyramid? It's like your most basic needs have to be met first before you feel higher.
Yeah. Yes, the hierarchy of needs. Yes.
Yeah, the hierarchy. Yeah. And so, and that's what came to mind when you were saying that. So it's like, that makes sense that, okay, well, let's, you know, and people when they're, if you are broken down and you're having all these issues and things like that, you're probably not real high up on this hierarchy. You know, you probably are.
That's true.
You probably have a lot of problems in a lot of areas of your life.
Oh, yes. In fact, I was thinking about that before the call tonight. I was thinking to myself how it just seems to happen that when you're broke down, you're kind of broken down at many levels.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
And that's a matter, I think, of energetic integrity, bottom line.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was just going to say, because it's all energy, like you say it in your book, like we've been saying. I mean, everything is energy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just one more thing, again, about, you know, here we are energy, and we're believing a lot of things, apparently, that brings us to that point, you know. So all these things are broken down. And so it's like, are you seeing a pattern here? Kind of.
Yeah, and I think we're not just believing things. We are actually emotionally, cellularly programmed, as you know.
Yes.
To these things are, we believe them because they are us. Beliefs are us.
There you go. Oh, that's cute. That'd be a good bumper sticker.
It would be, wouldn't it?
It would be. Put that one down.
That's funny. That would be great. It can't be helped. I mean, it's how the human body is designed to be, because we're designed to learn from one another so that we can be effective people in the world, so that we can be healthy and help other people and all those kinds of things. And all that stuff comes into us even when we're in our mother's uterus. We're getting these messages because all her chemistry comes right through us. And then when you're out in the world, you've got teachers telling you things when you're very young and very susceptible.
Well, yeah, absolutely. And like I said, the teachers, yeah, and the parents in the womb, and then between the womb and the school, you have all that, you know, from the parents, and then whoever else was influencing you at that point. So,
yeah. And if you have been through any kind of abuse, as I was, it completely skews your programming.
Oh, I bet it does. Oh, my.
Because
God.
You just have a whole different outlook on who you are in the world, what you're supposed to do, how you're supposed to act. It's just remarkable who you think you are.
I can't even, you know, I come from this place and think, well, I would imagine that it would affect, you know, I mean, it would affect your trust issues. It would affect, you know, interpersonal relationship issues, things like that. But, you know, and it would, from if you come from a, you know, on a scale of, okay, this is normal and blah, blah. But, you know, you, like you said, we are designed to survive.
Yes.
So you know, if you are in these situations, it skews it. But like you're saying, it skews it. But it skews it to a new normal, I would imagine, for you. I'm just speculating, because I don't know. I don't have a place in my brain for this.
Thank heaven.
It doesn't. Yeah. Yeah. I know it doesn't. I have to just completely imagine what filter, what glasses you had to be looking through, that kind of thing, you know, because I don't,
Yeah, it's very, very bizarre, particularly if the abuse was physical and you felt your life was in danger.
Mm-hmm.
All of life becomes very, very, very different. And it's interesting because just this past month, I had my eyes opened anew to the depth that my own emotional programming and the injuries that it caused me as a human in the world caused my own children.
Mm.
Because I did not know how to be a decent mother to them. I had no training for that. None.
Yeah. Yeah, your training was what you were raised with.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And my mother tried very hard to be a good person. She did. But she was abused when she was a child. You know, you can't, yeah. It's a chain. And mm-hmm. in many senses, in order to save my children, I abandoned them. And certainly that hurt them and has affected their lives, but they're both functioning, healthy people happily. But they did. I left them when they were 7 and 10 years old. Their father took them from me, and I didn't fight. Because I knew, I think, that I just wouldn't have been good for them.
And that was coming from a higher place in you. Because at that point, you didn't know what it
was. No, exactly.
So, yeah.
Yeah. And I think, you know, because it was less than 4 years after that I got scleroderma. And I think that what happened was that was the final thing that my body could take. I think it had taken so much that when my children were taken away from me,
yeah,
my body just broke down.
Yeah.
That makes it's just sense. Like, I can't do it anymore. I can't hold this act together anymore.
No, and
because
I think
it
you
was
said,
an act.
No, it was. Yeah. And like you said, I think you said before that when you had the scleroderma, because of all the scar tissue, it was like you everything was becoming rigid. Is that
yes.
right? And
yes.
It was like you were like a tree. Is
yes.
that? Yeah. And that's just, I guess it was just like, I'm trying to get a metaphor or whatever your body. I mean, because I believe like the messages that the body's giving.
And yeah. And I think my body was holding on tight.
Oh, ah.
I think it just couldn't let me know.
Yeah. I was trying to control it because, yeah, to me, it was like it's a controlling thing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
And my sister, the one who endured a lot of this with me, she's a delusional paranoid schizophrenic.
Wow. Okay. But she's the one that remembers?
Yes.
Okay. So see, yep. Yeah, so that it went that way with her.
Yes. Now, it's interesting because my ability to do healing, I turned out to be a kind of a natural as a healer. And part of the reason I was a natural was because I had learned as a child when I was 4, that's when I was first farmed out by my grandfather. I left my body and I went up into the trees. And the trees or somebody up there taught me about energy. And I learned how to get inside the bodies of my abusers so that I could know what they wanted and give it to them. Consequently, years later, as a hands-on healer, I lay my hands on people and I knew what was going on inside them.
Yeah, there you go. So, yeah.
You know, it came full circle.
Sure.
So, for me, it turned out useful. And for my sister, it has defined her life.
Yeah.
Now, and it's just interesting.
Is that sister older, younger?
Younger.
Younger, okay.
Yeah, we're only 14 months apart. So we were, and I had, as an infant, I also had a fatal incurable disease as an infant. And I had TB, which wasn't curable at the time. So they used me for a guinea pig. And as a result, I was very tiny. So when my sister was born 14 months later, within a year, we were the same size. So we were marketed as twins.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Oh, my.
So, and in fact, I also learned then to communicate with people without saying anything, because she, interestingly, we had two very different approaches to this. I surrendered to the process. I left my body, but I surrendered. She fought. She fought every step of the way. And for her trouble, she got locked in the trunk of a car. So I learned how to communicate with her without speaking, because I would have caught all heck if I tried to talk to her. And so we learned to communicate. I could communicate with her while she was in the trunk without speaking. And that's how I learned to talk to people, so that later when I was doing my healing work, and even now, because I still do this, I help people who are dying. I am able to help them cross over because I can talk to them without saying a word. And they, you know, there's a communication there. That too I learned from that abusive situation.
And so all of that, even though, as horrific as this sounds, just like the quote disease you had was a gift, all of that really, and it was because of how you you used it and reacted to it. It became a gift.
Yes, I know. I know. I am constantly, I have to tell you, grateful for both for being blessed with a body that did surrender, because my sister didn't. I mean, she had the same thing. It was no gift to her.
Yeah.
And it's purely accident that my body is the kind of body that was able to do what it did.
Well, here's where we go back to, we all have things happen. Everyone has bad things happen. We all have a story. It's not the story. That's what I try to tell you. It's not the thing that defines you. It's what you did after that. It's where you came from, how you reacted to it, or what you did afterwards. That's what defines you, because everyone has something happen.
Sure.
That's
life.
Exactly. That's life. And, I believe we set those things up for ourselves beforehand to learn from, for what, different reasons.
But totally.
And then it's how we come out of them. That's what we wanted to take forward. So,
I had a dream once about and in the dream I was with my grandfather, who was then passed away many years. And in the dream, we were calling each other names and laughing and talking about how we were going to set this up.
See, there you go. Yeah, because that's where, like Mom, when she was doing sessions, that's what they told her before, and it's written in one of the books or some of the books. They said, when they cross over, when they get to the other side, they go, oh, it was all just a play. We were just playing parts in a play, and I can see the other actors getting ready to come on stage, and oh my gosh, oh yeah, we thought it was all this big drama, and oh my gosh, it's just a blink of an eye, and it's just a play.
Yeah.
We made agreements to all these roles beforehand, and that's the part when you're in the muck and mire of it, and then some people go, how can you be so insensitive to say, to be like this about it? And it's like, well, you have to pull back. You really have to pull back to see the bigger picture.
I think you have to be extra sensitive to be able to do it. I don't think it's being insensitive at all.
Oh, that's a good statement. I like that statement.
You know why I say that? Because as you and I both know, and most people who've done a lot of reading on the subject know, there is no abuser that hasn't been abused themselves.
Absolutely correct.
Yes. So, you know, when you get that, it just changes everything.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, you have to look at the whole picture. You can't just look at one little slice of a pie. You have to look at the whole pie.
Yes, you do.
You have to get all of the information, mm-hmm. and then see what's going on. And again, no judgment, because there isn't any judgment here, because it's all just parts and pieces and moving back and forth and beautiful growth and lessons and all kinds of things going on.
Yeah. And it's also, I mean, it's all too, I think people are very attached to knowing things, and there's so much you can't possibly know. You just have to be content with that.
Yeah. Yes, a good point. And I think you talk about that in the book about this part, you know, I'm not sure. I think it's part of an exercise, maybe, or
in the Born Healers book.
Yes, something about, you know, allowing and accepting. You have the parts. Let's see here.
My cat is going to sleep on the book, or I would. Anyway,
My cat finally moved off my lap. Our cats are having a. Yeah,
that's funny. Okay, I got it now.
Okay.
All right, so we're talking about.
The fundamentals here.
Fundamentals. Yep, I'm in there.
Yeah. And then you have, because there's always like the final is about allowing and accepting, you know, because things will, and because you have a lot of different things that you're doing, everything, but then it's a matter of allowing and accepting it. So if you want, can you elaborate on that?
Allowing and accepting?
Mm-hmm.
I felt like, who am I to be writing about that when the Buddhists have been talking about it for ever how many hundreds and hundreds of years they've been talking about it. But it needs to be said, because everybody isn't ready to hear it when they hear it. And right. So you've just got to say it again.
They might not hear it in the language that the Buddhists say it in.
I suppose that's true.
Yeah.
I suppose that's true. But it's, I have a quote at the beginning of that section from a man named Richard Rudd, whose work I enjoy very much. Mm-hmm. And it says, "The more you are able to settle into a deep trust and patience with the rhythm of your own life, the more your heart will open, and the softer and more yielding you will become in your attitude to everything and everyone that comes your way." It is just being able to say, this is what is, and it's exactly the way it should be. It's always exact. I have taken now, recently, really with only the last couple of years, of just saying to myself, oh, I wonder what this is opening the door for.
Yeah. Yeah. Or somebody says, I wonder what that's about. No, I wonder what this is. Like, okay. You just go.
Yeah, because it's always something.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And whatever it is, it's the right thing.
Always. And that's, see, but then right there, if people didn't catch that, that was an affirmation. Okay. and what, you know, those are things that, I mean, there are times when, I mean, affirmations do work, but it's when they're ingrained in you, when you are really, yeah, like you said before, when they are part of you.
Yeah. You know? They have to have their roots in you.
Absolutely. That was so smooth right there. See, it was like, you know what, you believe it, you are it. And it was so, and we didn't even, many people probably didn't even catch it because it was so you. Mm. That's how they are. When you know something, and you just keep saying it, that's an affirmation that you know. I mean, that's just the way it mm-hmm. is. Mm-hmm. And it, it keeps affirming itself because you keep saying it and you keep believing it. You keep doing it and it keeps happening.
And the more you do it, the better it gets.
Yes, absolutely.
It's remarkable, really.
It is remarkable.
I look at my life now and I think how different it is from, you know, so long ago. And I, you know what's very funny? 20 years ago, I was driving up the road with my second husband to this house that I'm living in. Mm-hmm. And I looked at that house and I said to myself quietly, because I wouldn't want to have upset him, I said, I deserve to live in a house like that. And then immediately myself said, no, you don't, or you'd be living there. And 20 years later, I am.
Yeah.
This is the very house.
Wow. But you finally, vibrationally and everything, got to where you do deserve there to be there.
Yes. And when I met my husband, I didn't meet him here. I had no idea he belonged to this house. He built the house, in fact.
Oh, how funny.
But it is funny, but it's perfect. I mean, it's exactly
but right. See, that's beyond funny. I deserve to live here. Okay, fine. We'll get rid of this husband. Get you that one then. The one that goes with this house.
But it took 20 years.
See, it takes a while. It takes a while to move all those pieces and parts and put them in place.
Well, especially when you don't really know what you're doing. You're kind of fumbling around looking for the good things, trying to be the good person. And as long as you keep trying and you're doing good things, you're going to get where you're supposed to be. And maybe, like the crazy person I was, maybe you recognize it ahead of time, which I think is what I did. I think because there is no such thing as time, really.
Right.
I think myself 20 years ago saw this place and saw me here.
Mm-hmm.
In a cosmic kind of a sense.
Sure.
And had that reaction. And then myself then was like, oh, no, you don't.
That's a wild story.
Isn't it?
It is.
Well, we have a lot of them. And actually, the other odd thing is the street that it's on.
Yes.
It's called Pendragon Court.
You know, I have seen your address and I wondered if, you know, because some people have, you know, like they're on like the end of a street or they're the only one on that street. And then so the street's named. Yeah. So I assumed it was something.
No, it was named that before I ever got here.
Oh, how funny. So see, you did deserve to be there.
I did eventually. And again, because time is mm-hmm. time is just a construct.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
And if you can resonate with, I have a YouTube channel called My Alternate Reality, and it's all about living without the restrictions that people insist upon, like time.
Right. Yes.
It really does open you up when you allow. You just allow that this could be, that might be, that, you know, that could happen.
Yeah, nothing is impossible.
It isn't. I'm living proof, literally.
Absolutely. I mean, you're going on, because that happened in 88.
Yeah.
That's almost 30 years.
I know. And there's a few years ago, I needed to get my medical records
mm-hmm.
from the hospital where they had set me free. And they, apparently when they took me off, because I was all better. I mean, I knew I was well,
right.
But they weren't fully convinced of that because everybody else had died that went off the treatment.
Mm-hmm.
When we showed up, Robert insisted that we go in person. And when we did, my doctor just burst into tears.
Aww.
It was 20 years, 20 some years later. And he just, for him, it was like a dead person walking in there. He just did not expect it.
Wow. Oh, I bet that was a wonderful reunion.
Oh, it was. Oh, my heavens. It was so nice. It was so nice. And I was struck because the one thing he, you know what he remembered about me, which I thought was so sweet? He said he had come in to see me one day and I was in the bed. And of course, at that time, I was really unwell. I mean, I was all crippled up, my arms, my legs, everything. And he walked into the room and apparently I must have seen in his face that he was having a tough day. And I said to him, "Oh, are you having a bad day?" And that's the thing he carried with him, was that I, in the midst of what he saw as this horrible condition, I had looked out of it and seen him being sad and felt bad for him.
That must have been, that taught him something, apparently.
I guess it did, but what a wonderful thing. I thought that he was so touched by that. I loved that he was open to that.
Mm-hmm.
It was so nice.
Very. Wow.
It's interesting. You just never know how you're going to touch somebody.
Absolutely. And they're always saying you never know, you know. Mm-hmm. You just do your thing, you know, you just go be yourself and everything. There's something in here. It's in the chakra part.
Mm-hmm.
But it was under the virus treatment. You made a really interesting statement. It was something that you had
about the viruses changing.
Yes.
Yes. That was so interesting to me that came through. And then I had it validated by the Journal of the Institute of Noetic Sciences, where they said that scientists had discovered that it is viruses that have been part of the evolution of mankind. They are what have been changing the body of humans.
That's correct. In the sessions, the sessions that Mom did, that's what they said is this was a perfect planet when it was created, and then an asteroid hit. And that was not in the design. It wasn't supposed to happen. That was an accident. That asteroid hit the planet, and there was a virus on that asteroid.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. I've heard that.
Introduced here.
Mm-hmm.
So
we're all mutants.
Exactly. So then they went back to the council. And they're like, what do we do with our wonderful, beautiful, you know, planet here? Do we keep going or do we scrap it and start all over again? They're like, well, let's just keep going and see what happens. But it's really interesting what you say about it. That's on page 64.
Hang on a sec. Let me get there. 64. Yeah. Oh, there it is, right with the virus treatment. Uh-huh.
Yeah. So first of all, how did this, because you're saying during a lengthy initiation by the beings of light, so how did this come through? It was just this mess. It was a mess.
I wish I could tell you how that came through. I have received a lot of information in my time, and it just is kind of there all of a sudden. I don't even know.
I get that. I think a lot of the audience will get that too.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good.
It's just there. Yeah. Okay. All right. So then, you received the following information about viruses. So I'll let you, because I loved how you read that other part.
that which is known on Earth as a viral infection is actually a visitation of another life form whose goal it is to assist in raising the vibrational level of human beings. When a person heals from a viral infection, he has not, as is generally perceived, killed the virus in his body. He has rather integrated the virus into his body and raised his vibrational level.
Yeah. How's that for new information?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's and if you think about the best possible condition of man, of like primitive man, and the best possible condition of man now, you can see the difference physically. Because there's the physical is always going to be a reflection of the energetic and the spiritual, and you can see the difference. And even though we are still far from perfect beings, those among us who are on the path, we are different from the human beings that were barely human beings thousands and thousands of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
It is not that we are any better.
Yeah,
but we are more refined, I would say, energetically.
Okay.
It's the best word I can think of for it. We're probably less hardy, but I think that spiritually there is more of an openness now, because in ancient times, while they were deeply connected to the earth and the energies of the earth and to spirit, it was in a very different way than we are now.
Well, that's true.
And that can go, you know, a number of ways at this point in time.
Absolutely. Yeah. You can come, you have many different angles on that one.
Yeah. And the chakras have changed over time too. I mean, it used to be we are now actually a 9 centered being. We're not 7 anymore, but we're still working with the old information of 7. But before that, we were 5 centered.
Okay.
And that's evolving also.
Okay. Well, talk about that a little bit, but I don't. How about here? Do this. I want you real quick to let people know how they can reach you if they want to contact you. Do you have a website? Do you have email? How do you want people to find you?
I think I do have email. The best way to get to it and me is probably through my website, which is easy to remember if you remember my name, because my website is my name, victoriapendragon.com.
That's simple enough.
Yep. And my email's right there for people to contact me via that.
Okay. All right. So I wanted to get that in before we ran out of time, because we've got like 3 minutes left. So go ahead. Okay. So let's talk about the chakras more. I did not know that they have evolved and all this stuff. So this is very interesting.
It is interesting. It's fascinating. I learned about it in about 2000, I guess. And the reason I didn't write about it in this book was because most people have not been exposed to it. And I didn't want to put people off, mm-hmm. you know, by introducing something brand new. It isn't really brand new. It's been known since about 19. Actually, if you go back and find some of the ancient Indian paintings of the chakras, you'll mm-hmm. see that they're not like we picture the chakras in the pictures today. They have, you know, everything's nice and neat and all lined up, and they've got one in the third eye and one in the head and one in the throat. And if you look at the old pictures, they're not nice and neatly lined up like that. There's one off to the side on the right, and there's two of them on the sides at the bottom. And that's because that's about when the shift took place. It took place in like the 1800s sometime to the 9-centered being. And you can see these, if you look at old Indian paintings of the energy system in the body, you'll see these odd things, and you're like, wait, that doesn't look like the chakras. Yeah, it does, actually. It's because that's what I thought when I had first seen them. I thought, gee, those paintings are wrong. Mm-hmm. No, they're not. They're right. But we tend to go with simplified versions of things in this country, at least. Mm-hmm. And it was somebody somewhere distilled that down to 7 central chakras that went right down the center of the body. And so nobody's really worked with the 9 centers energetically that I know of. Now, some of the people may. You can find out more about them by looking up something called Human Design.
Okay, I have heard of that, yes. Okay.
And they don't refer to them as chakras because they don't want people to get confused. Same reason I didn't talk about them in the book.
Mm-hmm.
But they are, in fact, energy centers in the body. And that's what chakras are.
Right.
Absolutely. It's difficult to get people to open to something new when they've learned this. You know, like, I don't have that problem. I will shift gears fluidly. But a lot of people, they're like, oh no, I'm sorry, it's got to be this way. This is what I learned. Seven chakras, it's going to be like that. Mm-hmm. Things change. The human body has changed.
Absolutely. Well, that's fantastic. That's and then there you have that to support it. So that's, I mean, we knew we were changing, but we didn't, you know, there's not a lot of physical, although this is hard to document physically, you know, the
chakra. Well, you know, the genes have changed and there is that. And I think ultimately that's what they're going to find out, is that there's a link between these energy centers and the genes.
Okay.
Which is what human design begins to explore.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, super. Okay. Well then, well, we're on our last minute here, probably last 30 seconds, 30, whatever. Yeah. 30 seconds. So this has been wonderful, Victoria. I'm trying to, all of a sudden my brain just went out the window here.
But thank you so much for calling. Oh, I love to talk with you. It's just fun.
It has been. And so, but just wrap it up in a nutshell again, Born Healers, Awakening, Nourishing, and Training the Healer Within is help. It's a do-it-yourself guide for anybody, really, just to tap into their natural healer.
Exactly.
Okay. Fantastic. Thank you again so much, Victoria. It's been
interesting
having you.
Take care.
Thank you. And you too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And we thank you again, everyone, for being with us. And it'll probably be a few weeks before I come back because I'll be traveling. But we love you all and so glad you were here. And have a wonderful week. Love you. Bye-bye.